something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we play a brand new game called ViewTube, or Canadianity Counts.
We find out what happened with the Hat Man in Las Vegas.
And we check out some of Burton Cummings' new track, hot off the presses of his Facebook page. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
60, we're rolling.
60's how we do it. Why?
Oh, I didn't do the film.
Oh, do it for me, will you? 60's how we do it. Bakadoom beat. You were late. 60's how we do it.
Bakadoom beat.
You're late.
How am I late? Maybe the
You sing it and I'll do it.
This is how we do it.
Bakadoom.
No, man, you're late now.
Is there a delay? Do it. Sing it again.
You're doing it on like the one. You're waiting till the downbeat. I'm doing it into the downbeat. It's just always.
Okay, you ready? 60's how we do it.
Bakadoom beat.
That's late. That's late.
There must be a delay in the phone. That's the best.
That's late.
That's exact.
Because if I do it, like I will do my part and your part, this is how it sounds to me. 60's how we do it.
Bakadoom. Why are you doing that? Why? It's on the end of four. It's one, two, three,
Bakadoom.
Four.
This is how we do Bakadoom. Right?
Yeah, it's on the end of four, so it's three, four, Akadoom. You're just like bringing in the beat, but it's got to come in before the one.
I know. This is how we do Bakadoom.
Yeah, there you go. When you do it yourself, it's fine.
I know. So why is there a delay when you do it?
I don't know.
Do you sing it one more time for me.
Me?
Yeah.
With the beat, this is how we do it. Bakadoom. All right, so that's late.
Right. See how vulnerable you feel when the other guy doesn't jump in with the Bakadoom?
Because it happens on the vocal.
You feel very vulnerable when the other guy doesn't jump in with the beat for you. I let you hang there. I felt so naky.
This is how we do.
Bakadoom.
That's where it is. Oh, you're adding it late. Now you're going late.
Bakadoom. And sometimes there's a Bakadoom.
It's on it.
I want to meet two people in the world. I want to meet the person who works at Hyundai that said, guys, I think we should get This Is How We Do It for the Hyundai commercial. And then I want to meet the guy who said, that's a great idea.
I have a feeling that song is like all over the place in commercials anyway, isn't it?
I don't think I've ever heard it in a commercial before. No, the major Hyundai campaign.
And for anything though, for like chewing gum.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
No.
Maybe there comes a time when a song is old enough that suddenly it's like, oh yeah, member. Once it hits the member phase, then it's kind of good because it's retro and that means cheap too. You know what I mean?
So yeah, exactly. I hear you.
Bakadoom.
I don't even know what kind of campaign it's for or what it would work for other than Hyundai. But it's pretty much one of those songs where it's like whenever you're doing anything, it picks it up a notch.
It kind of does. It's like Genuine Pony.
Like building a bed at IKEA.
Yeah, and I would say Let Your Backbone Slide is in that kind of realm too. Like for a Canadian ad, why hasn't Backbone been used for like Sleep Country Canada?
Or for like shoveling your driveway.
Yeah.
Like really going for it.
Like right on the nose. Or like a massage clinic. I'm excited about the game we're going to play today, Bot.
We got a good game.
Yeah.
It's called Canadianity Counts.
Yeah, it's
on
good.
On YouTube.
It's good. It's Canadian. It's unique. We kind of alluded to it last week when that perv and I were sharing a room in Vegas. Never saw him again. The hat remained in the room just in case he came back. Yeah, what a tale. Oh, and for those wondering,
we're talking about these skirted egg Pete Rose haired, like long at the back, but all thick at the back.
Yeah. My favorite correspondence from a listener
the crimped hair.
was a guy saying, I couldn't concentrate on folding my laundry listening to 59 because I was so tense thinking the guy with the hat was going to walk in any minute. Can you imagine? Like, don't you, that would have been incredible.
Don't you want to like hope it's like Gerard Depardieu hair?
Ugh. But matted down headband styles.
Like really thick, but like at the back, almost like mohair hair, but nothing on top.
Like baby fine hair?
No, like thick, like Pete Rose in his heyday.
Oh, yeah, like rug hair. Like Shakespearean wig hair.
Yeah, but just at the back.
Wig hair.
That he saw was all crimped around the back of his ears and the back of his head.
Brutal. Hey, for people that like
Quicksilver, trying to like his kid, he's like 59.
If you look at the front of that baseball hat, it was frayed. That was not a new hat that he got at the Vegas outlet.
When he's nervous at the table. He's rubbing it in the brim.
Gross. It's got some styling gel and cigar juice on it. For those wondering, the intimacy kit was $28 US.
That's awesome.
Someone sent us a picture of one in Toronto that was, I think, $10, but it didn't have the towelettes and it didn't have the breath mints.
The breath
mints. So gross.
The crunch, crunch, crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. That's good stuff. Crunch, crunch, crunch.
So,
get the fuck out of here. right when he's done, turns gross. Into a big asshole.
Fires the breath mint in for the kiss on the cheek. What? Fires the breath mint in for the kiss on the cheek. Way you go.
Right before he's done, he's all like, it's the pleasure of my life.
It was a great pleasure of my life. Meeting your acquaintance.
And then he's done, and he's like, crunch, 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 get the hell out of here.
Why would he care about his breath being fresh then?
He's because he paid the $28.
Oh, my gosh.
Just because it's spent, and he just feels like he needs a fresh up.
He gives her the breath mint as a courtesy to her next suitor.
That's just them both.
Oh, what a jerk.
Okay, he turns and like goes all sweet.
He's like, hey, look, there's two breath mints here. That's good, because my breath is extra rank.
Get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
Come on, honey. Get your stuff and go.
Here's a bit of trivia. For folks that like Trailer Park Boys, I was growing my hair long in the last couple years because I wanted to have cornrows on Trailer Park. And the problem was the Trailer Park schedule changed and it then overlapped with Mr. D, so I couldn't have cornrows as a vice principal on Mr. D because they were both shooting at the same time. So there's one scene in Trailer Park where I'd already gotten – it was the last scene I shot for season 9 and I'd already gotten a haircut for Mr. D so it wouldn't match. So they actually used a wig, like a blonde wig, to match my long hair. And it's the scene where McFlurry's getting off the bus to go to school, and I say, yeah, but how big is that teacher's badonkadonk? What?
You have a wig on.
Yeah, I have a wig on. A wig hair. And if you see it, now that you know that, you can tell it's a wig. But unfortunately, not enough people can tell it's a wig, which is a real sign that my flow is out of control. 60s, how we do, back-a-doom.
I think it's pretty awesome that you were doing it.
Wearing a wig?
With the wig on, and then even if you know.
Yeah, and Mike Smith, who plays Bubbles, said, can you do the longest, you can even imagine? So it goes like, hey, how big's that badongano though? It's a good 4 seconds, and it made me lose my voice.
Okay, do you want to play Canadianity Counts?
Yes, I do. So the rules are very simple. Here's I was thinking about this. I think you need to tell me the exact search phrase. So, for example, Juno's 1970 is less specific than Howie Mandel Juno monologue. You know what I mean? You have to tell me the exact words that you searched in the little YouTube search bar, because I think that could be different, right?
It is, but it's also the name sometimes of the answer, you know what I mean?
Right.
In the search.
Right.
With the year. So, bottom line, I can give you an era.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And genre, like music or TV, okay?
Okay. So, you're not going to tell me what it is?
No, you're going to have to kind of guess.
Oh, my
just
gosh.
By the vibe.
Okay.
It's kind of adds to the game as well as...
Yeah, you're right. It's a game and a game.
And then at the end, you can guess the count. Or you can guess the count anytime, I guess.
Okay. So I have to guess what this is.
Yes.
Okay.
Just to add it up. Okay, here we go. This TV in the era is early 80s. Late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Breadcrumbs. Just check and make sure everything's okay. Welcome. Nice to see you, and I'm glad to see you at home. I hope you're okay.
Wayne and Schuster.
No. It was Bruno Gerussi's cooking show.
Oh, my gosh.
Remember that show, Celebrity Cooking?
Yes.
Bruno Gerussi.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that classic?
I thought I could hear two voices in there, and I swung for the fences.
It's definitely tough when you're listening to guess that, but
Bruno Gerussi's cooking show has 22,000 views.
17,000 views.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad.
Let's take a break on TNT because I have to grab this call real quick.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Would you like some egg and beans? Fuck off! You're not my mom!
And we're back.
My wife's brother calling on the phone, bud. Everything's cool.
All set?
Yep, we're good. I just knew if I didn't answer it, the phone might ring again, and I wanted to nip that in the bud. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Who would have been the guests on Bruno Gerussi's Celebrity Cooking?
Oh, there's tons. Andy Kaufman was one of the
Come
most
on.
Famous
ones.
Yeah. I think that Bob...
Newhart?
Bob Crane was on there. Remember
like that, everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody of the time.
Okay,
Did you tell the story about Bruno Gerussi in a glass of pee?
Bruno Gerussi in a glass of pee?
Yeah.
What is that?
There was some story about they were shooting a commercial for something, and I can't remember why there was a glass of pee, but he thought it was apple juice and he had a drink of it. Terrible story, awfully told, but someone told me a story about that once.
That's a true story?
Well... I mean, there's nothing in the way that I told it to suggest it is, but I remember someone telling me something along those lines over the years.
Yeah, over the years, but Bruno Gerussi?
Bruno Gerussi and a glass of pee. There you go. All right, what's the second Canadian that he counts?
There's a story about that, but it's a little different from what I remember.
What? Was it a glass of poo?
The glass of pee, yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, there's a couple. There's one I heard about a band from Winnipeg, and they used to prank each other, and one guy pissed into a beer bottle on stage, put it on the stage, and the bass player like went chugged half of it.
No.
One of his beers, and he literally jumped onto the drum kit during the show.
No.
That, like the jump through the cymbals and everything to kill him.
That is such a cross the line hit.
That was so bad.
You can never open a prank war with someone because it's not going to end well for anybody.
He just went right ass over tea kettle towards him during the show. Probably had the bass on him still.
Crash tests? No. Wide no, mouth Mason? Like no.
They were more an indie band. I think they were Chocolate Bunnies from Hell, I think was the band name.
Oh
punk,
my gosh.
Punk band, but they're hardcore dudes.
Oh my gosh. I would be so mad. Like, come on, dude.
But if they're at that level of, like, biker pranks, You know what I mean? If that's just normal.
That's awful.
Biker pranks. Leaving a pig in someone's house for 2 weeks while they're away. That's the story of Kevin Meikle, our old tour manager. Had these friends in Calgary that were just like, I guess they were either bikers or that level, but that's the kind of pranks they would do on each other.
Leave a pig in your house?
Leave a live pig to run around and destroy the guy's whole house. Oh, shitting everywhere, chewing everything up.
It's
the guy gets always like, oh, you bastard, you got me.
It's so simple, but so effective.
And I think the other guy, like, put, you know, that stuff, I think it was this caulking, like, for your roof or whatever. Or no, the...
For the tub?
No, not caulking. It was either caulking or, I think it was even worse, it was like, what's the shit that you do with stucco on the roof?
Yeah, yeah.
I think they stuccoed, like, a brand new Camaro or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, destroy the body. For, like, ruined.
Well, you certainly heard the old crazy glue on the toilet seat prank.
No.
Clattenburg taught me the tape a sandwich under someone's desk prank. That's a good one.
Because it starts to read.
Yeah, it's a slow burn. Like, day three, it's like, there is something unpleasant, and by day seven, and you'd never think to look up under your desk.
Under your
desk? Like, tape a ham sandwich under a guy's desk? I mean, you could also go hardcore and tape a mackerel or something, but a ham sandwich is like a slow burn.
Or an egg.
Yeah.
That's a real slow burn. Once it really rocks, though.
We also did, when we worked at Street Sense, it's also a slow burn, and it's subtle. But you put one piece of junk or, like, paper on a guy's desk every day to the point where, like, 3 weeks in, he's like, why? What in the hell?
Yeah, what?
There's a total breaking point.
Who's doing this to me?
Because you're trying to keep your desk game tight.
Best pranks you've ever heard.
Yeah, send us your best pranks. Let's call it pranks for listening.
When I was a kid, I used to do something terrible with my brothers, and I was the youngest, so I was following the lead in a way. It was more James that was the ringleader for this, but they would put stuff clothes into a, like, so it looks like a body, pair of pants and a shirt, and we lived off beside a highway, and he would throw it into the cars.
No. So oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
Insane. So all of a sudden, you see this body come across the front of your car at, like, 80 miles an hour.
That's the worst prank I've ever heard.
So bad.
Drop them off a bridge? Onto the highway, like, below?
From the ditch, he would throw it into the middle of the road.
Oh, my gosh, that's like terrible.
So bad.
It's also really dangerous.
It's insanity. It's complete insanity. And this one guy, like, peeled, stopped, and then booked, kept going. So to this day...
Just in case he hit a real dude? Oh, my gosh.
Insanity.
Mike Clattenburg planted a female entertainment item, also a town in Newfoundland, dildo, in my carry-on and wrapped it in copper wire. And I noticed in hindsight he kind of fell back a little bit and watched me go through security. And after we got through, he said, man, you're so lucky. You have no idea why. Like, what are you talking about? And he pulled it out of my bag. It didn't trigger for some reason because I guess it was copper, not metal.
Yeah.
That could have been heinous.
Yeah. I remember one guy, a guy told me he used to put a huge rocks in a paper bag and put it on the road. How insane is that?
Oh, so you'd hit what you think was a paper bag?
Yes, and there'd be a huge rock in the middle of the bag.
Well, I'll never forget, Young Drivers of Canada, they said that this kid who had his license went to hit a cardboard box, and it was full of soup cans. And it got caught up under the car, and he perished because he was a dumb stunt. Bud, I have to go get Indy at preschool.
All right.
Episode 60 is choppy, but we'll continue shortly.
Okay.
Okay, bud. Bye now.
Where's my beer chair?
Canadianly Counts is very simple. We kind of alluded to it last week. We're going to watch videos on YouTube, give them to each other, and you have to guess how many views you think it has. This can be tricky because some things that you think not many people would have watched have millions of views. And some things that you think would be a national treasure, like a dozen people watched. I think we should also, for bonus, ask how many likes and dislikes it has. Okay. And I think we should go Price is Right style. So it's if you go over, that's a no, even if you're really close.
Okay.
Does that sound right?
No, that's good.
Okay. Who's going first?
Well, are you saying you have to guess into a certain amount, like, of views?
Well, how many did you pull? Five?
Yeah.
So I did the same. So round one will be we each give each other a video. Whoever comes closest to without going over scores a point. Is that fair?
Like, in what sense is going over?
Well, like, if it has 13,000 views, and I say 17,000 views, I went over.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know in the Showcase Showdown, how people bet $1 instead of 20,000?
Not like a win or a loss. This is like percentages.
No, if you go over on your guess, you're out of contention for the round. If we both go over, nobody gets a point. Right? So I could actually, if you've gone over, I could guess one view, and I'd be right.
Yeah.
Price is Right, Steel Styles. Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay, one more rule. If you go over, the one way you can redeem yourself is by guessing the number of thumbs downs. Bang on.
No, this is way too much information.
No, it's good. It'll be very clear as we go. If you guess the number of thumbs downs, bang on, you're back in the game.
You're back in the game.
Because who...
That just erases, like, if you're off by a million in the count.
Who does that? Like, who would look up riding the bus with my sister just to give it a thumbs down? Like, if you're looking it up, you must want to see it. Am I going first?
No, I'm about to play this. You ready?
Okay, and you have to tell me exactly what you searched. Because, like, Junos isn't enough.
I know, but what if you just search the name of the thing you're about to see?
Well, you have to trust me that I won't.
Well, I thought it doesn't matter what, like, the guessing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is. So you tell me exactly what the clip is, play a bit of it, and then I'll guess how many views.
Okay, it's a King of Kensington theme.
Oh, we could have called it ViewTube.
Yeah. It can always change. Okay. That's Canadianity Styles. You want to switch the
game. Maybe it's
name.
Canadianity Counts, colon, ViewTube. Okay, go.
Okay. The great Al Waxman starring in King of Kensington.
And the great Fiona Reid.
Yeah.
And later, the great Jane Eastwood. Written by Louis Del Grande. Produced by Perry Rosen, who went on to do Air Farce. All right, I'm going to say, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to talk it out. That show was on in the 70s. Most people that remember it are probably not cruising on YouTube. So I'm going to say, I feel like it has about 33,000 views, but to be safe, I'm going to say 26,000 views. 26,000, final 50s. Answer.
56,729.
Wow. Okay, so I'm still in because I didn't go over.
Oh, my God.
Here's your clip. You ready? It's CBC's video hits with Samantha Taylor. She's teeing up who's coming up on the show today. I think you'll like it. You ready? So listen first, then guess how many views.
Okay. Hi, and welcome to Video Hits, Canada's number one video show. I'm Samantha Taylor, and on today's show, I've got Janet Jackson, Patti LaBelle, with help from Mike McDonald, Chalk Circle, and One-to-One. Later in the show, I'll tell you how you can win a trip to see Honeymoon Suite at Expo 86 in our big prize contest. But right now...
How about that?
Yeah, that's tough.
You can win a chance to see Honeymoon Suite at Expo 86. That is legit. That is legit.
Okay.
How many views?
5,600.
I don't know why it struck me so funny. I thought you were going to say 1,000.
No.
5,600 is, it's sort of heartbreaking. It's 52,678.
Oh, I was way off.
So I get a point then.
You do.
Guess how many thumbs downs that has.
Like 30?
That ratio is so out of whack. Like, of the 6,000 people that watched it, 30 was like, F this garbage. Like, what are you doing watching it then if you don't like it so much? There was only one Sourpuss that gave a thumbs down.
If you happen to see it, unlike the column, you know, when you were in an era and you're looking for, you could see someone's looking for a Journey song and that's just on the side, all of a sudden they click on it.
I know, but what's going on in your life that you're...
Because they're offended, so they fire a thumbs down if they don't like it.
What's going on in your life that you're angry enough, though, to give something like that a thumbs down?
Everybody's like that online. Online is just like...
Brutal.
Craziest people in the world.
All right, I'm going to give you a clip first in round two. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Chris Shepherd being interviewed by Kim Clark Champness on New Music TV. Here it comes.
Hey, Chris, when you started off being a club DJ, did you ever think you'd end up with all this and the success that you've had?
No, it wasn't really ever about that. It was about the feeling of the music and just an opportunity to try and project the sounds that we wanted to project.
Yeah.
Nah. It wasn't about the success.
It wasn't about that at all, man.
No, not at all.
How many views does Kim Clark Champness interviewing Chris Shepherd on New Music TV have?
3,200.
No,
10 down, thumbs down.
No, 25,500 views, 3 thumbs downs. Okay, that's the game. You have to guess the number of views and the number of thumbs downs. Okay. I presented.
That's how hockey was invented.
Yeah. I presented on the Junos with Chris Shepherd as Chris Shepherd, and the bit was, we've come out, I have cinnamon bun head too, and I say like, tonight is all about flipping the light, fantastic, we're spinning wheels across the sky and the beats that make it last forever. And I have this big 40-second rant, and he finally turns to me and goes, that's a bit much, don't you think? He was a real good sport about me doing Chris Shepherd on the Junos. He also was really a pioneer of that genre, wasn't he?
He sure was. He was a man of the clubs.
What was the thing called? Love, Inc.
Yeah, and then he was like doing his DJ stuff. I don't know. He's probably, then he was doing radio too.
Twin Discs of Steel.
How could you not with a voice like that?
Love, Inc. Where are you from? London. Ontario. Where are you from? Berkhamshire. Outside of Orillia. Where are you from? Niagara on the lake. He can make anywhere sound sexy. Brandon, Manitoba. But he probably calls it Manitoba. Brandon, Manitoba. Brandon Manitoba should get him to do the voiceovers for their commercials. Come to Brandon, Manitoba, all summer long.
Hampshire Square, near Shelburne.
Where are you from? Vancouver. Moncton.
Oh man, that's great.
I want to hear him just read a list of tour dates for Love Inc. St. John's, Deer Lake, Ganda. Okay, so your differential.
We have to do a list of all the Canadian celebrities with hardcore accents from other places.
Kamloops. Your differential was 25,500 minus 3,200. So yours was roughly 22,000. So okay, you, play my video, and if I can make a better differential, no, I get a point.
You should do all three in a room together, Alan Frew. Mark Holmes and Chris Shepherd, and they all talking about growing up in Toronto with those accents.
The Frew.
I remember at the Scarborough Town Center.
Did you ever park at the giant tiger at the Scarborough Town Center?
I do, yeah. I remember it, yeah.
Yeah. They used to have deals on eggs.
I do, yeah.
They also had great quilted vests that you could wear in fall time with your roots boots.
I do, yeah. Do you remember the Catelli bats you get at the Blue Jays games in the 80s?
With Kelly Gruber? It was a great time to be alive. Do you guys remember going to the CNE?
Remember the Rush hats?
Oh, Canada. Here to sing Oh Canada, Mark Holmes, Alan Frew, and Chris Shepherd. Oh, Canada. Our home and native land. True patriot love, yeah? In all thy son's command. I can't beef with Chris Shepherd. He was always awesome. He came on Jonavision and was great. The kids just loved him. Remember, didn't he have like Much Music Presents Chris Shepherd's dance mix?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was that.
He'd always show up at the dance parties. You ready for yours?
Yeah, hit me.
Oh, man. Okay, it's the Irish Rovers intro.
Wow.
You ready for this?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wasn't that a party? I think I'm gonna die. Me, oh me, oh my. Wasn't that a party?
Party with
Might
the Rovers.
Might have been the gin. 46,000.
Come on. You did. You just nailed it.
What?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, come on, 46, I went 000. Way over.
46,000.
Holy cow.
You just crushed it.
First thought, best thought, as the Buddhists say, that popped into my head.
How about likes? Or dislikes?
I'm going to say there's 212 likes, and I'm going to say there's 4 dislikes.
No, there's 66 likes and only 1 dislike.
Maybe the game should be called Dyslexia. Wow.
They're the Radiohead of those bands. Nobody dislikes the Rovers.
Nobody dislikes the Rovers. Now all I can do is talk like Chris Shepherd.
Chris Shepherd talking about watching that intro when he was like six.
We're going to pour some melted steel into big buckets that light up, bake it in the oven at 360, double the butter, and release some beets. Here is the Night Heat TV show full theme HQ audio.
Full scene.
Full theme.
Oh, full scene.
It's a theme of the 80s show Night Heat coming full at you. Full theme. You wonder if you will survive in city. Performed by Dominic Troiano. How many views? How many dislikes?
20,000 views.
20?
6 dislikes.
20,000 views is your guess?
Yeah.
It's 27. That's good.
Oh, I'm in the ballpark.
It's a good guess.
You nailed yours. You won again.
Well, no, we're into the next round, aren't we?
I don't know. You getting points all over the place is all I know.
I think this is the start of round three. I think you just set the table to steal a point.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. Are you
gosh,
ready?
Gosh darn it.
Oh.
My phone's ringing, bud.
Your phone's ringing, bud.
What should I do? Should I answer it hot?
Answer it hot.
Okay, hang on.
He's going to answer it hot. I think I should have put on this song early.
Can't even find the darn thing, bud. Let's not sweat it. Don't even know why we have a landline anymore.
Are you ready for yours?
Yes.
Okay, here it comes.
I rhyme the world in 80 days. Kish.
You got it. That's, yeah.
Around the world, around the world, oh yeah.
The girl at Subway happened to be able to sing, so he brought her on the song.
Is that true?
No, I'm just guessing by the vocal aerobatics.
You know what? It's not often that a hook in a rap song drives me crazy. I don't like the hook. I think he has pretty good flow. But it's the first two, around the world, baby, around the world, oh yeah, are okay. But the third, around the world, baby.
No, that's really bad.
That's where she loses me. I'm going to say, dang, I'm going to say 14,000 views. And I'm going to say 12 dislikes.
8,200 views.
Also, I'm over. Okay.
34 likes, 3 dislikes.
3 dislikes.
Oh, that's the best part right there. Switched off.
That's a point for you, bud.
Oh, yeah?
I wonder whatever happened to that guy. Oh, my family's home. And Henry's going nuts. Let's take a break on TNT. We'll be right back with Dyslexia. Canadianity counts.
Perfect.
Hang on.
Fucking ready?
Okay, not that score matters, but it's 2-1 for me. You're going to start this next round.
Yeah, I picked the great Louis Del Grande. He came up earlier as a writer.
Yeah.
On King of Kensington, but now it's his own show, Seeing Things, the intro to Seeing Things.
Wow.
Starring Louis Del Grande. Any. It's one of your finest moments again on Trailer Park Boys to for calling Leahy Louis Del Grande looking moth.
Looking map. Is he, who's singing it? Randy Bachman?
Oh, I know. It's brutal. He's got that hardcore. Yeah, no.
Whatever that music is, is that blues?
What?
Whatever that theme is. Like, I know the boodaddle do that.
It's do more that. Like more like a Doobies kind of thing.
I don't like blues.
Rock and roll-y. Same ball.
Maybe it's rhythm and blues. Anyway, the Seeing Things opening title sequence has...
You got to guess the views and the likes and dislikes.
I'm going to guess it has, because it kind of has its place in pop culture in Canada.
It's a pretty cheesy song, though, boy.
Yeah. I'm going to guess 8,000 views, 4 dislikes, and 12 likes.
2,400 views.
Aw.
9 likes. No dislikes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
No dislikes.
There you go. Okay, so I blew myself up. I'm out of contention. This
went
is
over again.
Yeah,
so now we're even 2-2.
Well, no, this is your this is your chance to steal
myself.
Yeah,
to get back in the show here.
Okay, I'm pretty happy with this pick. The Canadian Tenors with David Foster performing "Hallelujah." Listen.
So.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya?
Should there be a big busy piano part at some point?
All I want in the world is to see your face hearing the Canadian Tenors. And David Foster. Well, let me see. Here's a cutaway of the Foss. See what he's doing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, he's having a tinkle. David Foster's having a tinkle.
On the ivories.
He's adding a high part to the melody that doesn't really need to be there.
Shitting up the place like an elephant.
Well, he's spreading some magical fairy dust the way he is wont to do. How many views does the Canadian Tenors... Oh, hang on a sec. Here's a big, long cutaway of the Foss. Let's see what he's doing.
Right, Jonathan, you got to keep it simple.
Remember the big piano break in Hallelujah?
Like, you got to keep it simple, guys, but he still won't stop playing the whole time. But he's got to keep it simple. All these notes popping out of the parts.
He gets paid by the note, bud. How many views? How many dislikes?
I'm going to say like 300,000 views.
92,000.
What?
92,000.
Damn, I went over just like you did.
So
I
nobody
blew it
gets
up.
A point. Well, wait a sec. If you guess the right number of dislikes,
oh, okay,
you can get your point.
15 dislikes.
Darn it, it's 5.
Damn it.
Pretty barf
so
inducing.
I can't win now. I'm out.
Why?
I still have 1 point, and you've got 2, and it's the last round.
I know, but you can tie it up.
Oh yeah.
So who's going first? Do you want me to go first this time?
Then we're going to have a tiebreaker. What?
I'll go first, so you can steal the point.
Okay, yeah, so it's more dramatic that way.
Mr. Dress-Up Christmas episode. Take a listen. How great is that jam?
It's one of the best.
One of the best. So that was the 1995 Christmas episode.
Wasn't the original that Glenn Gould, didn't he write that?
Did Did he really?
I don't know if that's a fairy tale or I want it to be true, but I thought that's how that jam came about.
I didn't know that. This is the 1995 Mr. Dress-Up Christmas episode. Just so you have all the information, it's been uploaded by a handle called Retro Tie, The Pulse of Nostalgia. So it's not like CBC official. How many views?
Oh, man. 80,000?
Darn it. 54,000.
Oh, I went over again.
It's your chance to get the point by guessing the correct number of dislikes. It's surprising. Anybody
who would dislike this deserves to get the beatdowns. I don't know, four?
I guess that's why I picked it. There are 9 dislikes.
Oh.
What kind of monster dislikes Mr. Dress-Up and Christmas?
It's people, someone who doesn't like Christmas, probably.
What kind of sick bastards? All right, so this is a victory lap. Hit me with the last one.
That's definitely a victory lap. This is a SCTV skit, Half Wits.
Hmm.
Which is one of the classic bits of all time. Here's John Candy here off the top.
Darren Peel. Darren, good to have you back. Thank you, Alec, and we'd like to have you over for dinner real soon. Uh-huh.
It's the Half Wits game show. It's like a Jeopardy, but they're real dim.
Now, Darren, you were telling us you're in machine parts. Is that correct?
That is correct, Alec. I search ball bearings for a living. I have 2 pails at work. In one pail, I'll put good ball bearings. And in the other, I'll put the bad ones.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a demanding job.
It is for me.
Now, Darren, you're a family man. Is that correct?
That is correct, Alec. I've got 2 wonderful parents. I have a mother, a father, and I have another brother whose name is Darren.
What I meant to say was you have a family of your own?
I don't follow you.
Do you have a wife?
That's really funny.
Your own. Your own family.
Sure I do. Sure I do. I have wonderful.
Well, good to have you here. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Sure I do.
Just John Candy just killing it.
32,000 views.
You're way off.
There's less.
Under, at least.
Oh, really?
332,700 views.
I mean, that's great.
It's a great skit.
As it should be. Fun game, bud. As I'm looking at some of the clips in the margin, there's a clip from Big Comfy Couch that has 680,000 views.
Yeah, the kids' stuff are sneaky.
Yeah.
Here's Alec. It's like Eugene Levy playing Alex Trebek, who's such a classic Canadianity character, and Martin Short just kills it with this creepy Lawrence Orbach guy.
Yes or bad? I don't care what you do. Thank you. Now, Lawrence, you were telling us you're still in school.
Righto, Alex.
Postgraduate work?
No, high school. I'm having some degree of difficulty getting through high school.
I see. Well, good
but
to have you here.
I'll do it.
I'm sure you will, Lawrence.
Because I have certain goals in life I feel compelled to complete.
Very, very good.
One of which is becoming a circuit court judge.
Good. Good to have ambition.
And the second is perhaps playing professional hockey.
Good to have you here, Lawrence, and good luck to you.
Righto, Alex, then.
Now it's time.
Do you know what my favorite part is? It's such a little thing. But someone having trouble getting through high school would not use the phrase, I'm having a degree of difficulty. That's what's really funny about it.
Yeah, because he has a slight eloquence, but he's an absolute total stump.
Way ahead of its time, wasn't it?
Yeah, but clearly still loved on the YouTubes with the hundreds of thousands of views.
That's great.
Only 31 dislikes for that amount of views is pretty
31?
Insane. 1,100 likes.
What? Oh, well, that's... What
the
is wrong with people,
impressive.
Though?
I don't know. Kids are like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet the kids are quick to dislike.
Yeah, I want to watch another unboxing video.
Are you inside and cozy today?
Oh, man. Big time. I'm battened and rattened.
Because it's bad news, like, bears, right?
Yeah, it's like the Ronnie Styles. Like, remember, and he was on the show and talking about the big ice everywhere.
What's cracking? Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of those kind of nights.
There's really?
A lot of frozen, like freezing rain, that, and then all of a sudden snowing, and then rain, and then snowing, and it's just going to keep going. Apparently, it's going to keep burning along all night. So,
kind of cozy, though. Like, if you have the food that you need and power doesn't go out, it's kind of fun.
It's not so fun if the power does go out, but no. The other thing is, this is that kind of snow that's super heavy. So you could break your back instantly or have a jammer.
Yeah.
If you think you can just fire the snow everywhere, trying to do it at all quick.
Yeah, you can't do that, man.
Dropping like a rock.
Don't go having a jammer, bud.
Huh?
Don't go having a jammer on me, will you?
No.
No. I know you don't want to have a jammer as much as I don't want you to have one. When we were on tour, as we say in the East Coast,
we
discovered that Randy Bachman crafted the holiday classic Taking Care of Christmas, which we thought usurped Corey Hart's Rudolph as the worst Christmas song ever. If you haven't heard it,
agreed.
Go now and listen. Taking Care of Christmas. It sounds like it was, it didn't take a long time to lay down. So that kind of...
You got to, like, take us through you if you were him and, like, how he came about doing it.
Guys, here's what we're going to do. You know Taking Care of Business? I've just tweaked a couple words here and there. Business, when you first hear it, kind of sounds like Christmas. So what I did is I replaced the word business with Christmas and then replaced some of the other lyrics with like Santa sleigh and gifts and excited girls and boys. We'll take a crack through it, but we might as well roll tape on the first rehearsal. And who knows, maybe we'll get lucky. I think that was the pep talk to the band.
Remember he quit the Guess Who at the Fillmore on a gig in like 69.
Because why?
He just had it, I guess. I don't know.
And because the Stones wanted him.
Oh, that's... No, Zeppelin.
It was Zeppelin that wanted him. So, all that to say, it kind of sent us down...
That's what he said.
...yet another Guess Who hole, wormhole. And Timbo, our bud from the Arkells who puts the show together, sent Jeremy a link to the videos on Burton Cummings' Facebook page.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of a video diary, as the kids would say. And sometimes
he's being nice enough to the fans and letting them in on some classic songs from back in the day.
It's like you get to peek behind the curtain a little bit.
Yeah. And there's a bod taking the videos.
And he's often wearing maybe the same jean shirt. And,
and everyone.
His birthday is, it appears to be either New Year's Eve or the 1st of January. And some of them are, as he puts it, kind of reflective videos about the state of his life and the state of the year. And, you know, if you have several hours and want to get to know Burton a little better, go on his Facebook page and watch videos like this one. You suggested we play a bit of Little Eva, right? It begins with kind of a comedy bit whereby he doesn't know the camera is there. Take a listen.
Oh, hi there. Welcome back to the club. I'm your host for the evening, Burton Cummings. We all remember Little Eva. She had the original fabulous version of the locomotion, not that one by Grand Funk produced by Todd Rundgren. Little Eva had the original one. She was on Dimension Records, along with the Cookies and Carol King. She was one of the Dimension Girls. And it was great. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby, do the locomotion.
Why is there a bird on the keyboard. Why are they zooming in on his barrel?
Did you like the going down melodically there in the chorus?
Locomotion. Do you want to hear that part again?
Not that one by Grand Funk, produced by Todd Rundgren. Little Eva had the original one. She was on Dimension Records, along with the Cookies and Carole King. She was one of the Dimension Girls. And it was great. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby, to the mountain.
All right, let's keep going.
It was the drum fill leading into the whine of the saxes that made that record so instantly identifiable. Before Little Eva ever opened her mouth, you heard this. So, that wasn't the end of the line for Little Eva. She had a fantastic follow-up called Keep Your Hands Off My Baby. And you know who the background singers were? The background singers on her Keep Your Hands Off My Baby were the Cookies. Same girls that sang Chains and Don't Say Nothing Bad About My Baby. All of them were the Dimension Girls. Little Eva's follow-up, Keep Your Hands Off My Baby, tonight is brought to you by Walker's Shortbread, the finest shortbread available this side of the Mississippi. And let me tell you something, folks. Doing? They don't eat a whole lot of Walker's Shortbread in the Mississippi Delta. So it's just as well shortbread. They're bringing it to you tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
You got to hear the jam.
It's a put super it close-up of his those face for Walker's Shortbread. Head. Good talking to you, bud. We'll take it out on Burton's version of Little Eva's follow-up to Locomotion.
Has he turned into one of the mugs?
Good chatting, bud.
Has he lost his
good
mind?
Talking. I'll talk to you soon.
Get back to the keys, Burton.
Little Eva.
Here we go.
Put the two together. We've been friends for oh so long. I like to share what's mine, but when it comes to the things I love, it's time to draw the line. Keep your hands off of my shortbread.
Oh my God.
I ain't gonna tell you, but one more time. Shortbread. I ain't gonna tell you, but
both sweets
are mine.
Talk to you next week, bud.
Bye, bud.
Boom, gong, gang, go, ding, gong, ju, boom, bounce, dun, 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 dun